Greetings. Please open in your Bibles to the Epistle of 1 John. Looking at 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 verses 5 through 10. Hear now God's holy word. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray once again and ask the Lord to bless His word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would bless the reading, the preaching, and the singing of Your word, Lord, to transform us from one degree of glory to another, to conform us more to the image of Christ, Father, to provide comfort for our souls, assurance for our faith. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Your grace is poured out upon us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we pray, Father, as we hear Your word this evening, that You would be active by Your Spirit, effectually working to build us up in the faith. We pray, Lord, that You would use this jar of clay for Your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever wondered, how do I tell if someone who claims to be a Christian really is, if he or she doesn't act like one? Have you ever wondered to yourself, am I a true Christian? Am I a true believer? Well, there are several reasons why you may ask yourselves these types of questions. Two of them may be, you look at other Christians, you see the sin in them, and you begin to think, despite their claims to the contrary, well, that's not what I think a Christian should be. That's not what I think a Christian should look like. Or maybe you question your own fellowship with God because you see other Christians around you or in the broader evangelical church being more gracious and forgiving than you are towards men and women who commit what you think is sin before God. But they say, well, it's not that big of a deal. In fact, it's even hard to say that it is sin. Perhaps even chastising you, saying God is a loving and forgiving God. Maybe you should be more like Him. Maybe you begin to start thinking that if you were a real Christian, then you wouldn't be so hard on what you thought was sin. If you've ever had any of these thoughts or any of these questions about others or yourself, you're not alone. These are the same questions that John's sheep were experiencing in the day that he wrote this letter. You see, there were false teachers who had rejected John's teaching regarding the gospel and Jesus Christ, but they're still claiming to be true believers, even though they walked contrary to God's word. And these false teachers were also claiming that the sins they committed in the body weren't really sins, because since their souls were redeemed, it didn't really matter what they did with their bodies. They could live any way they wanted to, and they still claimed to have fellowship with God. The spirit was good, material things, they were evil. So it didn't matter what you did in the body. Such people were causing the sheep under John's care to doubt their salvation. Their assurance was lacking because they were being confused about what a true Christian really looked like. And John wrote this section of his epistle to reassure his readers and to reassure you that you can know that you walk in the light because you live a life of repentance and faith. You can know that you walk in the light because you live a life of repentance and faith. Well, the first thing I want to point out to you is that the message John declares to you this evening is that God is light. We see that in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. John begins by expressing the character of God by using the idea and imagery of light. And by doing so, he lays the groundwork for the next several verses. In both the Old and New Testament, the contrasting ideas of light and darkness are used extensively to talk about absolute opposites, like good and evil, God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, truth, falsehood, openness, and secrecy. And what John desires to express by saying that God is light is that God is pure and holy, and that none of the things that characterizes evil, none of the things that characterize sin can be found in God. None of the things that darkness represents are found in the Lord. And that's why John repeats himself when he uses the negative phrase, and in Him is no darkness at all. There is no evil in God. There's no falsehood. God does not lie. He's completely righteous. He's completely good. If you just think about what light is for a moment, when you think about light, it's hard to imagine there being darkness in it at all. That's because light and darkness cannot exist in the same place at the same time. That's because darkness is the absence of light. Where light is, darkness cannot be. That's why there's no darkness in God at all. Because God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And this is what God desires for His people, that they walk in the light as He is in the light. God desires you to be holy as He Himself is holy, to be pure as He Himself is pure, to be good and righteous as He Himself is good and righteous. And just like God has no spots of filth, no hypocrisy or anything perverted, He desires you to be clean and truthful and walking honorably before Him. But during the time John wrote this letter, and even today, there are people who claim to walk in the light, but their deeds don't reflect the light. And there were and are people today who claim to be Christians, but it's hard to tell if they really are. And there were and are people who don't claim to be Christians, but seem like really good people. So John's sheep were wondering, and perhaps you are too, whether there's such a thing as a bad believer or a good unbeliever. Whether there's such a thing as a carnal Christian or a holy pagan. Can an unbeliever, if he does a certain amount of good in his life, can he have some sort of fellowship with God? Or can a believer, if he does just enough bad in his life, somehow lose fellowship with God for a time? Well, John wants you to know that either you have fellowship with God or you do not. And look at verses 6 and 7. You can see these two positions there. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John is making it clear in this passage that there's only two types of people in the world. Those who walk in darkness, verse 6, and those who walk in the light, verse 7. There's no middle ground. There's no fence riding here. There's no jumping back and forth. There's only sheep or goat, wheat or tare, believer or unbeliever. And John's words accord well with those of Christ in Matthew 12:30 when He says, "He who is not with Me is against Me." See, John doesn't want his people to be confused about those who are spreading false teachings. And these heretics that John was fighting against still claimed to be Christians. They still claimed to be part of Christ's church. And John's sheep were confused about who was really in the faith. John's sheep needed guidance on how to distinguish between the true believer and the false believer. They needed guidance on how to pick out the wolves from among the sheep. And one of the points that John wants to make is that the false teachers cannot be heretics and Christians at the same time. They cannot be false teachers and true believers at the same time. They cannot be wolves and sheep at the same time, even if some of them are masquerading and even sounding like sheep. It's as if John were talking about a light switch. A light switch can only be either on or off. There's no dimmer switch when it comes to Christianity. Either you're walking in the light or walking in the darkness. John wants to make it clear there is no in-between. So I want to ask you, where are you this evening? Where are you this evening? Are you walking in the darkness or in the light? Are you for Christ? Are you against Him? This is the burden of the passage here. John wants to weed out. He wants to pick out the wolves from among the sheep. And he's saying to you this evening that you cannot be both a Christian and a non-Christian. You cannot say you're in the light and yet still walk in the darkness, because John's words in verse 6 are clear. If you say you have fellowship with God yet walk in the darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. But if you do indeed walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, then you can say with a clear conscience that you are in the light. John wants you to realize that you can identify where it is that you walk, whether in the light or in the darkness. So how is it that we can tell whether someone's walking in the light or in the darkness? How can you tell whether you're walking in the light or in the darkness? Well, John wants to tell us that those who walk in darkness suppress the truth. Look with me at verses 6, 8, and 10. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. In the section we're looking at, John goes back and forth between what it looks like for somebody to walk in the darkness and in the light. And in verses 6, 8, and 10, he gives the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. And the common theme in all three verses in 6, 8, and 10 is the suppression of the truth, the rejection of the truth. And what I mean by that is exactly what Paul means in Romans 1, 18 through 20. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Paul is saying is that ever since the creation of the world, men and women have known that God is light. They've known that He's holy, that He's pure. And they know their condition before Him as well. Whether they want to admit it or not, they know. They know that they have sinned and fall short of His glory. That's why John can say in verse 6 that we lie and do not practice the truth. Because we know what the truth is. And in verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth, that is Christ, is not in us. And in verse 10, we make Him, God, a liar and His word is not in us. Meaning that we call God a liar when He tells us the truth about our sin and we don't want to hear it. It's kind of like if you went to see the doctor and he told you that you had a very serious disease. And that as a result of this disease, it could lead to your demise. And you didn't want to hear it. And so you told the doctor, you know what? You're lying. You can't be telling me the truth. But then he shows you the test results. He shows you the blood work and says, see, it's clear. You have a problem. Something is wrong. But you still don't want to hear what he says. And so you leave the doctor's office. All the while, the disease is destroying you from the inside. That's just what John is saying about these false teachers, these false Christians. They claim that they have no sin, verse 8. They claim that they have never sinned, verse 10. And John is saying that they lie and do not practice the truth because God has clearly revealed the truth to them. He's clearly shown through creation and by His word that man, that He is holy and that man is sinful. And isn't this what's happening today? individuals and churches and denominations claiming that what God calls sin isn't sin at all. And claiming that it's okay to be gay. Ordaining homosexual pastors and elders. Churches which tolerate adultery or cohabitation before marriage as if it's not a big deal. How about men and women who come under the discipline of the church for some unrepentant sin and yet all the while refusing to admit that they're in the wrong? Well, that church doesn't know what they're talking about, they might say. That church, that denomination, they're always trying to call things sin, they might say. Well, John is saying that these churches or these people who say they have fellowship with God, he says that they lie. They do not practice the truth, that they deceive themselves. They make God a liar and His Word is not in them. But it's really easy to point the finger, isn't it? It's really easy to look around and say, wow, look how messed up they are. They're clearly not living according to the truth. Look at their lives. Look at their doctrine. They're clearly not living according to the truth. But I want to ask, what about you? What about me? What are our lives like? Do we say we have fellowship with God and then lust after another man or another woman? Maybe a co-worker, maybe a neighbor or someone on the computer screen? Do we say we have fellowship with God? Do we say that we practice the truth and yet we tell a teeny tiny little white lie to our husbands or our wives? Do we fudge on our taxes a little bit? Do we borrow something with no intention of returning it? Do you say you have fellowship with God but allow anger to grip you when somebody wrongs you? Do you get jealous when someone else you know gets something you really want? Children, do you disrespect your parents? And parents, adults, do you disrespect those who have authority over you? John is saying that if any of these things describes you or you commit any other sin while claiming to have fellowship with God or claiming that you're a good person, wasn't he saying that you lie and you do not practice the truth? You might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Gregory. I came to church tonight to be encouraged. I came to be uplifted. I came to hear the good news. And according to what you're saying, I'm no different than the false Christian. I'm no different than these false teachers, these unbelievers. But I tell you, and I'm sure you've heard this phrase before, in order to appreciate the good news, you need to hear the bad news. And that's the bad news. You and I do still commit deeds of darkness, even though we claim to be in the light. But neither John nor I want you to go away discouraged this evening. Because there is a difference between your life and the life of the false believer, the life of the non-Christian. And it's this, the false Christian continues to walk in darkness because he knows he is sinful. The false Christian continues to walk in darkness because he knows that he is sinful. Before we said that God is light. And one of the characteristics of light is that it exposes what's in the darkness. And in order to see this more clearly, would you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And the Apostle John was a good disciple of Christ. He listened well to his master, and the things that he says in his epistle are simply a reiteration, an unpacking of what he heard from the lips of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, we read this. And this is the condemnation, or this is the judgment, or evaluation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. It does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. How many of you have ever seen cockroaches? When the lights are off, what do? They come out from hiding. They scurry around. They do their dirty little thing. And then you come in and you turn the light on. And what happens? They just scatter. They run and they hide. And why do they do that? It's because they don't want to be exposed. It's a matter of survival for them. They know that if they're seen in the light, they'll be caught and they'll be killed. They'll be destroyed. They don't want to be found. They don't want to be caught. So they flee the light into the darkness. And this is the same way it is with unbelievers. They walk around in the darkness, and as soon as the light comes, they scatter because they do not want to be exposed. They do not want the sin in their life, which they know is there, to come to the surface. They do not want to be called to repentance, so they continue on in the darkness, avoiding the light. This is what characterizes the unbeliever. This is what characterizes the false Christian. But my question is, does this characterize you? What do you do whenever the light of God's truth is turned on your life and your sin is exposed? Whenever you're reading God's Word and you become convicted, you just close it up because you don't want to face the conviction you're sensing. Whenever you feel convicted through the preaching of the Word, you just tune out the pastor because you don't want to feel condemned. When a friend confronts you with sin in your life, do you push him away because you don't want to feel wounded? Or when you're all alone and your conscience condemns you for the sin you've just committed, you turn off your conscience and turn on the TV so you don't have to hear that loud, screaming voice in your heart? Well, I tell you, and John is telling you, that if the light shines on you and you turn and continue to walk in the darkness, you make God a liar and His Word is not in you. And if this describes you this evening, I want you to know that you do not have to continue walking in the darkness. You don't have to continue being afraid of the light, hiding from the light, but you can walk in the light if you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, just as verses 6, 8, and 10 go together to describe those who walk in darkness, verses 7 and 9 go together to describe those who walk in the light. And John is telling his readers, and he's telling you, that there's hope for you if you find yourself in the darkness exposed by the light. There's hope for you if you're lost in the darkness and the light shines on you. All you have to do is turn from your sin and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. And this repentance and faith in Christ is what will save you. And John is saying that this repentance and faith in Christ is also what characterizes the life of a believer. When John says, walk in the light in verse 7, he doesn't mean that we do not sin ever. But what he does mean is that when we do sin, we don't try to hide it from God, but we respond with repentance and faith, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is different from the false Christian. When the false Christian sees the light, he runs from it, seeking the darkness, seeking somewhere to hide. But when the light shines on the true Christian, he turns and he walks into the light, seeking Jesus Christ. The false Christian sees his sin and immediately tries to hide, but the true Christian sees his sin, turns from it, and trusts the blood of Christ to cover his sin. Instead of running from the doctor who has just diagnosed you for that disease, denying what he said, you acknowledge your broken condition before him and accept his help. You place your trust in him to provide healing for you. And this is what John is trying to point out in this passage. A true believer will turn to Christ when confronted with his sin. He will recognize his broken position before God. And instead of running away, he turns to Christ to be healed. And so I ask again, where are you this evening? To whom are you running? Friends, turn from your sin. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel. Only repentance and belief in the gospel can assure you of your position before God. So be encouraged then if you find yourself seeking God's face and asking His forgiveness after you sin. For this shows that you are in the light. So walk in the light. Repent and believe and enjoy the benefits. For you see, when you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the church. And you're assured of your salvation in Christ. Look at those two results in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, 1 John points out that we experience fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. When we hide our sin or claim that what we're doing isn't sinful, even when the Bible says that it is, we cause division. We cause strife between one another. Just think once again of the various denominations that call what is evil good. We cannot in good conscience before God have fellowship with such denominations because of their stances on certain sins. But men and women who live according to the Word of God and live lives of true repentance and faith cultivate vibrant gospel fellowship because they truly understand the depths of their own sin and the power of Christ to save them. And John is also saying that when you walk in the light, you may be assured of your salvation. Look at the verse again. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As was said earlier, when you walk in the light, you can't help but see the fact that you fall short, which causes you to continually rely upon the grace of God. And when you do so by repentance and faith, John assures you that the blood of Jesus Christ covers over all of your sin. Assurance may be found here. So enjoy the fellowship with Christ's church that repentance and faith afford you. Recognize that others around you, like you, are sinners saved by grace. And forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And rejoice with one another in your common salvation. Enjoy the full assurance of pardon you have through the promise of God in Jesus Christ. That if you repent and believe, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. So where then does this leave us? Well, we've seen in this section of John's epistle that God is light. And that since God is light, His holiness shines on everyone, exposing their true condition. We've seen that there can only be two types of people in the world, believer, unbeliever, sheep or goat, Christian or non-Christian. And we've seen the responses of each whenever the light of God's truth shines on them. So this brings us back around to the ultimate question of this section of John's epistle. How can I tell whether those who claim the name of Christ are truly in the light or whether they lie and they do not practice the truth? Or more importantly, because neither John nor I want you to go on a witch hunt, more importantly, how can you have assurance that you yourselves walk in the light? How can you know for sure that you have fellowship with God? Well, John's simply saying, look at what you do when the light shines on you. The false Christian runs away and continues on in the darkness, continues in his sin. But the true believer can know for sure that he has fellowship with God because he turns from his sin and turns to Christ, seeking forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. So once again, where are you running? Have you been running from the light? Are you ashamed of your sin and fear the judgment that you're under because of it? Have you been trying to hide in the darkness? Well, God's call to you this evening is repent and believe the gospel. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to merit salvation for sinners, to earn salvation for sinners, which He accomplished through His life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And the promise is that if you repent and confess your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ, that your sins will be forgiven. You'll be cleansed from all unrighteousness. So turn to Him if you find yourself in the darkness. Do not run any further, but flee to Jesus Christ. And if you find you're already in the light and find yourself convicted of your sin, God's call to you tonight is the same. Repent and believe the gospel. Because it's through your continual faith and repentance that you may enjoy the assurance of God's fatherly pleasure toward you. It's through your continual faith and repentance that you can be assured of your salvation. So brothers and sisters, know that you walk in the light because you live a life of repentance and faith. I know you walk in the light. Live a life of repentance and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've provided us clearly here with a way that we might see our relationship with you. We thank you that you've shown us that there's only two positions before you. We can either be in the light or in the darkness. And we thank you, though, Lord, that we are in the light. Even though we see our sin, there is a covering for it. The blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin, and we thank you so much for that. Father, we pray by your Spirit you would grant us repentance and faith, that we would live lives of repentance and faith, and so be assured of our relationship with you. We pray, Father, that you would grant us this grace for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.